Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4. And then you realize when you look back, there's the waste of the time, the weeks and the months and the years in some cases that a person have stopped from growing spiritually. Oh, he didn't lose his salvation. She never stopped to be a child of God. Oh, they didn't pay to be a child of God. They got it for free. God chosen us and saved us. But they didn't grow spiritually. They couldn't come and enjoy more of the possessions that belonged to them. They couldn't enjoy it because they have blocked their hearts. They have not heard the voice of the Lord. And you see, he reminds them in Psalm 95. He says, harden not your heart, verse 8 here, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. You see, he takes them to the wilderness. And you remember when our own people, Israel, came out of the land of Egypt. You know, the first thing that they had to face is the Amalekites in Exodus. And they were scared. And then God have shown them the victory that he took care of them. He provided for them. He watched over them and he blessed them. And then later on, if you remember, they came to a place that there was no water. The book of Numbers in the wilderness. And Israel complained and murmured against God and said, why did you bring us to here? Take us back to Egypt. It was better for us in Egypt. And God had to teach them a lesson. And they got him again. He had to show them that he is providing water in the midst of the wilderness. And he took care of them. And then later on they were complaining about no food. And he provided for them man from heaven. He gave them bread in the desert. In a miraculous way he provided for them. And then later on, if you remember, when they finally got into the entrance of the land, in Numbers 13 and 14, he sent 12 spies to go into the land, to spy the land. And when he sent those 12 spies, all the 12 came back. 10 of them gave an evil report. And they said, we are not able to enter into the land. And only 2 of them, by the name of Caleb ben Yefuneh and Yehoshua bin Nun, those 2 men gave a good report about the land. We are able! This is a great land. We are able to get in, and God is able to take care of his people and to give us this land. But you see what happened? If you read, and I'm not going to turn there now, Numbers 13 and 14, do it for your reading. You will see how God had to discipline the people of Israel. They were saying to God, you know, they were saying to Moses, would to God that we were in Egypt. Would to God that we were back. Let us make a lead there and go back to the land of Egypt. And God was so righteous, angered against them, that you know what he did? He disciplined them for every day that the spies were in the land. He gave them 1 year to wander in the wilderness. 1 day. 1 year for 1 day, for 40 years, he kept them in this desert because of their unbelief. He judged them and he caused them to be disciplined. And the very children that they were saying that they were concerned about are the very children who enter into the land, and the very adults, people above 20 years and up, who grumble and complain, end up to die in the wilderness and not to enter into the promised land. How interesting this passage is. And so you notice now, after he quoting Psalm 95 in verses 7 to 11, here is the first thing that he mentioned. Remember I told you he's using 3 words here. The first one is take heed. Notice what he says now in verse 12. Take heed, brethren. I was impressed with the fact that he wrote brethren. Many times here in the book of Hebrews, he called them brethren. They were not only his brothers in the flesh, They were his brothers in Messiah, Yeshua, as well. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, there are many sins that we are committing in our lives, many sins. Sins in our action, sins in our thoughts, sins in our words, sins in our hearing, many sins that we have committed in our life. But that sin is the sin of unbelief in God is able to provide for us on a journey, in a wilderness journey. And that's why he said to them, exhort one another, verse 13, daily, why it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. This is the sin of unbelief. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of Messiah, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if ye hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the provocation. So he's taking them back to the time that they were in the wilderness journey, and he's telling them, listen, what happened historically to Israel may very well can happen to you. What happened to your own brethren historically in the desert can happen to you today. Those people of Israel that have come out of Egypt, they were all under the blood. They were forgiven. They have confessed their sins and they were under the blood. Otherwise, they couldn't come out of Egypt. But they were not believing what God has said, and therefore God had to deal with them in the wilderness. And that's why it's saying here to them, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as it is in the provocation. He continue here in verse 16, and I'm reading Hebrews 3:16 now. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. You know what unbelief will do for us, spiritually speaking? It's not going to keep us out of heaven, because we have already accepted the Messiah. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to us about our day-by-day living. When we don't trust the Lord and believe that the Lord is able, actually, we are not going to enter into the enjoyment of the spiritual blessing that God had for us today while we are still here in this world. And so the first warning that he gives them in verses 7 to 19, he gives them the warning of take heed. Take heed, do not doubt God's word, but believe what the Lord has said. So, many times we find out that Israel did not believe in the wilderness journey, and because they didn't believe, what happened? They couldn't enter into the promised land, into Canaan. And they didn't enter into Canaan. Moses, by the way, was also, and Aaron, by the way, were those two men who also didn't enter into Canaan. Moses did not listen to God when God said to him not to smite the rock, to speak to the rock. And he did not believe God, and he did not listen to God. God kept him outside of Canaan. Was Moses unsaved? Was Moses not a child of God? No, of course he was a child of God. But sometime God had to take someone outside of this scene because of something that he or she have done while these people are still belong to the Lord. But the lesson here, brothers and sisters, the sin of unbelief, the sin of doubt will cause us not to enjoy the spiritual blessings that God has for us today. Not to enjoy it and become a carnal believer, weak believer, not a strong believer, not a happy believer in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Now, moving on. I know there's a lot of meat here, but I just want to put this package together. The second warning, and the second warning, do not doubt the word of God. Now in chapter 4, the second part here is in verses 1 to 8. In verses 1 to 8, he gives them the second part in this warning is, let us fear lest we fail to believe God's word. You know, we have to have a sense of fear lest we believe not God's word. And so I'm reading in these verses. First of all, verses 1 and 2. It says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, nor being mixed with faith in them that heard of it. You notice the first thing in verses 1 and 2 is that God's word had been preached to them just as much it had been preached to us. See, that word for gospel, it's much more than merely the gospel of salvation, but it is the total presentation of the word of God. To them, the gospel was preached, the message of the word of God was preached, just the same like it was preached to us. What is the message of the word of God? Is that God sent his son, God provided for us a way of escape, redemption through the blood, and he wants to bring us into the promised land. He wants to bring us into heaven. He wanted to bring Israel into the land of Canaan. Well, it says here, do you see what happened? They have heard the message. They were responsible to obey the word of God. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, if any of you should seem to come short of it. He says, you know, we need to take heed, he's saying to the Hebrews. Be careful. You heard the message. You heard the word of God. You are responsible to respond to it as God would enable us. You're responsible to not neglect it and not set it aside. For unto us was the gospel preached, just as much as it was preached unto them. They heard the word of God. We heard the word of God. The word that had been preached did not profit them. And isn't it true? How many times we hear the word of God? It's like children, you know, like children, like our own children. We tell them, watch it. When you cross the road, you watch it. Look left and right. Why, Daddy? Why, Abba? Why, Ima? Why, Mom? Why, Dad? Why? Because you might get into an accident. You will not see the car. Watch it. Watch the signs. That's what mother and father do. It's exactly what God did with them and God does with us. Watch it. Stay close to me, he's saying. But when we hear the word, it's come from the right side, going out on the other side. It's not mixed with faith. Then what happened? We neglect it. We reject it, we set it aside, and we end up not growing spiritually. We end up defeated as believers in the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And so verses 1 and 2, they heard the message and they were responsible to respond to it. Now verses 3 and 4. We have entered into God's rest by accepting the message. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As it says, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. You see, the Shabbat rest, the seventh day rest, is a picture of a person getting salvation rest because he have accepted the finished work of God. God on the seventh day finished the work of creation. Yeshua had finished the work of redemption. And so we have entered, those Hebrews have entered into God's salvation rest, or God's saving rest. Now, verses 5 and 6. We are to enter into a spiritual maturity rest now in verses 5 and 6. Seeing, therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So here he is telling them in verse 6 and 7 that there is a necessity not to neglect, but to enter into rest. This is spiritual maturity. Today, after so long time, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So you can see how he built upon it. And of course, right now, in verse 7 and 8, there is a need to be exhorted again and again and again and again, just like you and I needed. You see, he's saying now in verse 7 and 8, again, he limiting a certain day, saying in David, today, for after such a long time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day. See, Joshua, by the way, when Joshua brought Israel into the promised land, into Canaan, he didn't give them a full rest because they still had to fight. Constantly, Israel had to fight against the Philistines, against the Amalekites, against all those nations. Constantly, they had to fight. And that's what you and I have to do every day. Every day, you and I, just like the people of Israel in Joshua's time, we are fighting. And we are day by day fighting, not against flesh and blood, but we are fighting. There is the fight, there is the day by day fight that we have to fight. And therefore, he's reminding us of this. And so verses 1 to 8, be careful and fear lest the promise being left us from entering into a rest. By the way, you notice that it says in verse 7, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David. You notice it says in David? Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. You look in Psalm 95, you don't find that it is a psalm of David. We find out that Psalm 95 was written by David only because of New Testament passage. You notice that? New Testament, Hebrews 4 verse 7, in David. David is the one who wrote Psalm 95. But we only learned it from the book of Hebrews, not from the Psalms. So if you will ask today a religious reader of the Old Testament, of the Tanakh, ask him, who wrote Psalm 95? He will not know. Because he doesn't have that New Testament passage that you and I have, but it is written by David and not by any other person. Now, thirdly, quickly here, verses 9 to 13. In verses 9 to 13, this is the last part of this warning here. Not only take heed, not only fear, but labor. Verse 9. There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now notice this. There remaineth, therefore, rest for the people of God. That takes us to the third rest that I'm speaking about here today. The remaining rest, this has to do with the future rest that we're all going to have in heaven. We are tired from the journey. We are facing a lot of challenges and we are looking forward for heaven. One day the Lord Yeshua is going to come. He's going to take us to be with him in glory, in heaven. But it's still yet future. That's why he said there remaineth yet a rest. There's a rest that remains. We have already one rest. This is the rest of salvation. We are to labor for another rest. This is the rest of spiritual maturity. And there is remaining another rest. This is the rest of the eternal rest in the presence of God, of the Lord Jesus in heaven. So in verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. In verse 10, it says that we have already the rest of salvation. For he that enter into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. It is so sad to see believers in the Lord Jesus that are not sure about their salvation. So what do? They are laboring, as it says here, to work out for to please God to be saved in order to be redeemed. They are not sure that they are saved. So they are working in order to keep themselves saved. Notice what he says in verse 10. He that is entered into his rest, he ceased from all his own works. Salvation is not by works. Salvation is by faith. And just like God stopped the works of creation on the seventh day, you and I have to cease or to stop to seek to work for our salvation because we already have it. We have already entered into this salvation rest. And so let's not make mistake. There are those who will teach us today that you got to pay for your salvation. You got to work for your salvation. You got to do something in order to get saved. It's not only by faith, but it's faith plus works equals salvation. That is not what the Bible teaches. Ephesians chapter 2. By grace are you saved, through faith. And that is not of yourself, it is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Not of works, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, lest any man should boast. See, we probably would boast even if we will move our finger and will say, I'm saved because of something that I have done. No, God says no. He that is entered into his rest, he also has stopped from his own works, just like God has stopped his own works when he finished the work of creation. But then he tells them, in verse 11, we need to labor, not to labor to receive salvation, but to labor to get closer in our relationship with the Lord. Spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. That's what verse 11 teaches us. It says, let us labor therefore to enter into his rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. You see, that's where we have to labor. We have to labor to enter into the rest of spiritual maturity, not the rest of salvation, not the rest of the future heavenly rest, the eternal rest. That's we have already. That's the promise of God. But we are to labor for the day-by-day relationship with the Lord. And that's why in Philippians chapter 2 we read, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You notice he doesn't say work out for your own salvation, but work out the salvation that you already have with the help of God, with fear and with trembling, as it is before the Lord. And the conclusion is simply this. Verse 12, the word of God is quick and is powerful, sharper than two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You know what? God knows our hearts. We can hide our hearts from each other. But God knows our hearts. And that's why it says that the word of God is sharp, is powerful, and is quick, and is sharper than two-edged sword. He knows, as it says here, he's a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. God knows us. God knows our hearts. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strength. He knows our sins. And there's nothing that is hidden from him. And that's why he's saying to them, he says, I don't want you to come to a point that you would not trust and not believe God and his word, because he discerns everything. Unbelief will not go undetected. That's what he's really saying, by God himself. The Spirit of God will detect unbelief in our lives in order to help us to turn around and trust in the Lord for the challenges that are ahead of us. And that's a lesson, beloved brothers and sisters, in the second warning that those Hebrew believers have received from the writer. And the warning is, be careful not to doubt the word of God. May the Lord just remind us, you know, every day when we are discouraged from the way, when you have problems that facing you in every area of our life, we might be discouraged for a while, but let us turn to the Lord and seek his guidance, seek his counsel, ask him to help us, to counsel us, to encourage us, so we will be able to please him and not doubt his word. It's better to doubt the word of men. It's better to doubt our own words, but not to doubt the word that God has given to us in the scripture. So warning number two, do not doubt, do not have unbelief in your heart to doubt the word of God, because God will discern it and you will lose out in your spiritual progress. Can you say amen to that? Amen.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.